Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
The Apostle Peter tells us in chapter 3 of his second epistle that the day of the Lord will come as a thief, and that we should expect and hasten the coming of the day of God. The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, referred to today as man's day in 1 Corinthians 4:3, where man is put in the place of judgment. But a day is coming where the Lord will judge, and that day is called the day of the Lord or the day of God in 2 Peter chapter 3. This is Matt Miller with Bill Lawson, and we have a very rich 30 minutes in store for you today, so we hope you'll stay with us. Bill, Witness Lee talks a lot in the life study of the Bible about the growth in the Lord's life. Yet today, we're on a section of the Word dealing with judgment and God's government. Yet if we see the vision presented in this portion of the Word, then we'll be helped to pursue the growth in life.
Matt, no doubt there is a lot of judgment here in the context here in 2 Peter, because his whole epistles are on God's dealing with man, judgment. Yet, in a sense, behind this, you have matters such as the growth in life of the believers. So on one hand, it seems like there's just nothing but judgment here, the day of the Lord, the day of God, the end of the millennium. You have all the elements being burned up with intense heat. Yet within that, you have matters of growth for the believers. So it's not just a matter of judgment, but it's a matter of, if we see the severity of the Lord, then this really is helpful to our growth in the divine life as believers in the Lord.
Thanks, Bill. Let's read the first verse of the three that we're going to cover in today's program. We're going to cover 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements, burning with intense heat, will be dissolved, and the earth and the works in it will be burned up." Here's Witness Lee for message number 12 from the life study of 2 Peter, originally spoken at the end of December 1982.
According to my study of the Word for some years, I got to know that, including me, many of the Christians concerning the Lord's Day or the Day of the Lord do not have an all-inclusive and detailed view. It is nearly just the last week of the 70 in Daniel 9:27. Not only in that one verse, of course, probably from verse 25 and so forth, the first 6-9 weeks stopped at the year when the Lord Jesus as Messiah was cut off, was crucified. And that year was the fulfillment of the 69 weeks, which was 483 years. Then there began a gap. And this gap, how long is it? It is untold in the Bible. It's untold. Anyhow, at the end of this period of gap, there will be 7 years. And these 7 years will be just before the millennium. The great tribulation will be a part of the day of the Lord. And the Lord's coming will happen in these 7 years.
Okay, Bill, we've covered the 70 weeks of Daniel that Witness Lee just referred to in other radio programs, so we can't get into that in detail now. And there's also, in the back of the Recovery Version, a very helpful supplement that's entitled The Chart of the 70 Weeks and the coming of Christ with the rapture of the saints. So we're not going to get into that now, but I would like to ask you to give a brief definition of the context here in 2 Peter chapter 3 as it relates to the day of the Lord.
Matt, this is quite interesting here. Peter, in his second epistle here, gets into the matter of the Lord's coming and the day of the Lord. And there are a lot of judgments here on the believers, the Jews, the nations, and so on. And those judgments begin in the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks, the last week of 7 years. That's when the natural calamities begin to occur on this earth, and this will really shake up the earth, the Lord's judgment.
That's the last 7 years of this age as we know it,
exactly,
before the second coming of the Lord.
Right. So in the first 3.5 years of that last week, you have natural calamities and judgments. And then in the middle of that last week of 7 years, you have supernatural calamities or supernatural judgments that transpire.
And that's what we call the Great Tribulation, or what's what
right.
the Lord referred to as the Great Tribulation.
Exactly, the last 3.5 years of those 7 years. So Daniel's 70 weeks, they correspond very, very much, Matt, to the day of the Lord mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 3.
Okay, Bill, let's go on. We've got a lot of ground to cover today. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Expecting and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens, being on fire, will be dissolved, and the elements, burning with the intense heat, are to be melted away." The Greek word for coming here in verse 12 is parousia, so we're going to see the importance of this word, Bill, related to the Lord's second coming. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
I use the word coming, I mean parousia. Parousia in Greek means presence. The Lord's parousia will begin even from last 3.5 years of this age. Because if you study carefully, Revelation 12, the man-child will be raptured to the throne of God, and after that rapture, there will be 42 months. This is all recorded clearly in Revelation 12. The man-child will be raptured not to the air, but to the throne of God, where the Lord Jesus is. And this proves at the middle of the last week, the Lord Jesus will be still at the throne of God in the third heavens. Number one, proof. Number two, proof. Revelation 14 tells us they are 144,000 will be the first fruit, and they will be raptured also to the throne of God, where the Lamb will still be. The Lamb is Christ. And by that time, he will still be in the third heaven, where the 144,000 will be raptured. Then after that rapture, you still have 3.5 years. So both Revelation 12 and 14 tell us the same kind of period of time. After these two raptures, the rapture of the man-child and the rapture of the 144,000, then the Lord Jesus will leave the third heaven with these overcoming saints. He will leave. He will come down. Not come down to the earth right away, but he will come down to the air, enclosed with the cloud. That is something hidden. See, that is the hidden part of the Lord's parousia. The Lord's parousia, firstly, will be hidden for a period of time. Then, to probably the end of the last week, and his parousia, which is enclosed in the cloud, hidden, will appear. This is why in Revelation 10, you see the Lord Jesus will be in the cloud to the air. But in Revelation 14, when the harvest is ripe, the Lord Jesus will be sitting on the cloud openly. from being hidden, he becomes open. And then his appearing will be also on the cloud. No more hidden. And that will be what? The appearing of his parousia, the appearing of his coming.
Bill, let's stop right here and try to work our way through this and help our listeners a little bit. Let's talk about the coming of the Lord in both the hidden way and the open way. And I'll turn over the microphone to you and let you do it. And if you just want to repeat what we just heard, it would probably be helpful for the listeners.
Right. This is somewhat complicated, but on the other hand, very enlightening. When most believers hear the word, the Lord is coming, it's a sudden thing. It's a direct thing. But the Bible is never that easily understood. The Greek word coming here is the Greek word parousia. It's a particular kind of coming where it refers to the Lord's presence. And that presence is a gradual presence that begins, as Brother Lee mentioned, at the beginning of the middle of the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks, when the dead believers who are mature in life are raptured as a man-child, also the living, overcoming believers are raptured to the throne of God to be with the overcoming dead believers. They will be in the Lord's presence on Mount Zion on one hand, the throne of God on the other hand, and the house of God, which is the third heavens, okay, above the air.
That's in Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 14.
Right, Matt, 12 and 14. Okay, after this rapture, these overcomers spend a short period of time in the Lord's parousia or presence. Then at a particular time only known by the Lord will descend from the third heavens in his parousia to the air, and that will be during the last 3.5 years of the last 7 years. So the Lord's parousia, Matt, begins from the third heavens. It extends a little bit later in time to the air where the judgment seat of Christ is set up. So the Lord will have all his believers, the overcoming believers, and the immature believers who are also raptured to the air at this time, the majority of the believers and also some of the dead believers, they are raptured to the air, and there they will meet the overcoming believers who will have already been raptured to the third heavens and come down to the air in the Lord's parousia. So the Lord will have all of his believers in the air at one particular time. Then he sets up his judgment seat to judge the believers according to their works, right, according to how we have lived the Christian life. Then the Lord's parousia continues at this time from the air down to the earth, which will be at the very end of the last 7 years of this age. Then the Lord, of course, at that time, his appearing will be on a cloud, and that means everyone on the earth will see him. But in his parousia, in the air, he will be in a cloud, hidden, and no one will be able to see him, but the Lord still carries on his judgments in the cloud at the judgment seat there. Eventually, he comes down with the overcoming ones down to the earth in his open appearing, what Brother Lee talks about. And then he judges Antichrist. He judges the nations who have not fully cooperated with the believers who will be persecuted at this time. The Jews will be judged also, those particular ones in Jerusalem at this time. Then that's still a part of the day of the Lord. This is still part of the judgment. Then at that time, the Lord sets up his throne of glory in Jerusalem, and those believers who helped the Christians during the tribulation, they will become the sheep in the coming kingdom. And then the unbelievers and those who persecuted the believers during the great tribulation, they will be the goats. They will be judged. Then the Lord will bring us, the overcomers, into the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years.
Bill, that's quite helpful. I wanted to read two verses. It was enlightening for me when I first saw this to help understand the points you're talking about related to the hidden coming of the Lord. And that's Revelation 10:1. It says, I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven clothed with a cloud. So this is the Lord's secret coming. He's clothed with a cloud. He's hidden. This is the beginning of his coming. It's at a time we're not sure about, right? And we don't know that right time. And then in chapter 14, in verse 14, he says, and I saw and behold, there was a white cloud, and on the cloud one like the Son of Man sitting. So obviously there's a difference between these two comings. He's coming once in a hidden way, clothed in a cloud in 10:1, and then in Revelation 14:14, he's on a cloud in the open coming.
Right.
So there's really a lot here, and I'd like to move on. But before we do, I wanted to let our listeners know, at this point in the message, Witness Lee referred his listeners to a chart. He showed them a chart, and this chart is reprinted in 2 Peter Life Study number 12. It's a very helpful chart about the day of the Lord. And it describes the day of God and all these events in a chart. And it's very hard for us on the radio to communicate a chart. But we're trying and we're praying that the eyes of the hearts of our listeners would be open to see this chart, to see this vision of Christ's second coming. So let's go to Witness Lee and continue to pray that the Lord would show our listeners, give them an enlightenment in their heart to see these things related to the coming of the day of God. I agree with Witness Lee. I don't think many listeners have really seen the day of God in company. Encompassing such a large spectrum of judgment that's coming.
Right.
Let's go back to Witness Lee for the conclusion of the message.
What is the day of the Lord? That is the day of judgment. This period of time will be a time of judgment. Judgment by many things, by the natural calamities. God will attack the heaven. God will attack the earth. God will attack the sea. God will attack the rivers. God will attack the people living on this earth using different ways. This is all recorded in Revelation. Then at the middle of the same week, the man-child and the 144,000 all be raptured to the third heaven. Then after that, the Lord Jesus will leave the throne. When the man-child, 144,000, will be raptured there, the Lord's parousia begins. That's the beginning of the Lord's presence. And then the Lord will bring his presence down to there. Firstly, down to there, maybe halfway, enclosed, concealed, in the cloud, and that part will be the hidden part. Then probably it will be quite close to the end of the 7 years, this parousia of the Lord will appear. That means the Lord will come down to the earth, and then his parousia will be made public. And when he will come down, he will exercise a large judgment. Firstly, he will judge whom? The Antichrist with his army. Then he will judge Satan, firstly, the first time, put him into a pit for 1,000 years. And then he will surely come down to earth and sitting at Jerusalem to judge the living nations. And after that judgment, the human beings on this earth will be cleared up. The Jews have been judged. The Christians all have been judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and the living nations will be judged at the throne of glory of Christ. So that makes everything ready to have the peaceful millennium for 1,000 years. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, Gog and Magog will rebel again, and Satan will be released from the pit to instigate this rebellion. Then Christ judged that, burned Gog and Magog, and threw Satan into the lake of fire. Right away, that will end the 1,000 years. Then the white throne judgment and the burning of the heaven and earth will transpire. After those two things, the Lord's day will be closed. Then the eternal peaceful time will be, and this will be new heaven, new earth, no ending for eternity. So, the day of the Lord is just the day of judgment.
Bill, what a wonderful, detailed description of the coming of the day of the Lord all the way to a peaceful eternity.
It is really a panoramic view, right?
Bill, I'd like to ask you to bring this down to earth in our conclusion and say something in a practical way that can apply this vision that seems so far away, maybe to many, to today, to the practical life of our listeners who are listening right now.
Right, Matt, because if we don't do this, we're going to look at the future and say, well, all kinds of judgments are coming. And we may even think, well, as long as I'm saved, I'm okay. And if the Lord comes with judgment, there's no problem. But there may be a problem because the context here is this holy manner of life and godliness that the believers need to live. In other words, when we realize that judgment coming is so severe, so harsh, then we begin to realize, my, I need to mature in my Christian life. I can't just be a redeemed believer and then live a Christian life any way I want, thinking that I'm okay at the judgment seat. This is not the context of Peter here in his second epistle. Here, Peter is talking about the genuine regenerated believers here. They need to live a holy, which holy means separated unto the Lord and saturated with the Lord. That means everything of the world has been eliminated from them. They live a holy life. They live by God's holy divine nature. They live by God's holy life. They live a life of godliness, which is just the very expression of God. When we live this kind of holy, godly life, then when the Lord comes to judge, there'll be nothing left to judge because we've already been dealt with by the Lord. So, but if we don't live this daily godly life, prayer, fellowship with the Lord, fellowship with other believers, growing in the Lord, allowing the Lord to deal with us, dealing with ourselves, then surely when the judgment comes, it will be a serious matter. So it's really the judgment matter, really in a positive way. It's an incentive for us to grow in life, to fellowship with the Lord, to give our entire life over to the Lord so that we would be ready when the Lord comes to judge.
Bill, I'm glad you mentioned this matter of a holy manner of life. I didn't read verse 11, but I think it's good time to read it. I read verses 10 and 12 talking about the coming of the day of the Lord and the day of God. But verse 11 says, since all these things are to be thus dissolved, what kind of persons ought you to be in holy manner of life and godliness, expecting and hastening the coming of the day of God? I really feel like it should be a big motivation to us how we live today, because we can actually affect when the Lord will come back.
Right.
That's what this says. We can hasten the coming of the day of God.
Right. Naturally speaking, we don't expect judgment to come, or neither are we looking forward to hasten judgment. So here it can't be just a fear of waiting for the Lord to come back in wrath and judgment. Here, Peter is saying we need to expect the coming of the day of God. We need to even hasten that coming by our growth in the divine life. So again, it's a real incentive for us to grow in the Christian life and absorb the Lord every day, give our whole being over to Him. And then in that way, we expect His coming, and we also have a part to play in hasten His coming. I mean, before in my background, Matt, it was like when the Lord is going to come one day and I have nothing to do with that. It's like it's a magic day or something magic that one day He will just come. And if I'm ready, I'm ready. If I'm not, I'm not. But here, Peter says, if we live a holy manner of life, then we should expect the Lord to come, not to come to judge us, but to come to reward us for our growth in life. And also in that way, we can hasten His coming. We can bring Him back quicker by our cooperation with the Lord.
Bill, I think we touched a really big topic today, and I think we've only touched the tip of the iceberg, but I'm glad you came in and touched it with me. Thanks for coming into the studio today.
It's good to be here.
And we also appreciate you joining us and hope that you would contact us to receive some of these printed materials that go along with this message. We really hope that we can get you to call us at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Or you can send an email to radio@lsm.org. We hope you'll join us for our next program. On behalf of Bill Lawson, this is Matt Miller. Thanks for listening.
The Gospel of John unveils the New Testament reality of the types of Christ conveyed in the Old Testament tabernacle and offerings. The reality of the five main offerings in Leviticus serve as the examples in the first 12 chapters of John. And in chapters 13 through 17, the Gospel of John unveils the New Testament reality of the type of the tabernacle. The fulfillment of the tabernacle and the offerings in the writings of John is now available. Get your copy today by calling 1-800-549-5164. That's 1-800-549-5164.